Thanks for listening to Cap and Jay Hood, brought to you by Miller Lite.
Cap, Jay Hood.
This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Watch the show on Twitch. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago. This is breaking news on Chicago's home for sports, ESPN 1000.
Don't get too excited, guys.
Wait a minute now. If you get that sounder, that means it's breaking news, pal.
Yeah. Do you remember the first time you ever played that sounder for us on our old show? Yes, the Bears acquired Robert Quinn.
That's exactly right.
Oh, great.
This is not of that caliber.
It was a $70 million deal.
I think the first time I ever played it on Waddle and Sylvie, the NCAA March Madness
was postponed.
Was postponed, yes.
First time we played it under the hood.
Bad memories.
The first time we played it under the hood, I had to do the sounder and the report. No one hit that for me.
Oh, no, Jeff Dickers didn't?
No one hit it for me. What is your breaking news, sir?
Gentlemen, from the one and only Jeff Passan, the Chicago White Sox are acquiring center fielder Jared Dyson from the Pittsburgh Pirates.
Dyson has a .157 batting average this year. He has not hit a home run career, just a 21 home run guy with a .245 lifetime, 254 stolen bases. He's like a better version of Terrence Gore.
Yeah, you're adding speed to a team that's pretty much station to station. Of course, you don't need that speed when you're always hitting home runs.
You do in the postseason.
But you need to have that kind of quality depth, so got no problem with that.
Can I break the fourth wall, since you're here, Hoodie, real quickly? We were having an argument, Danny and I, as to whether I should hit the breaking news sound effect before we went to break. And I said, no, Jared Dyson is not worth hitting the breaking news sound effect. We'll do it when we come back. And the laughter I heard from Jeff Dickerson in the background confirms my suspicion not to have played it before we went to break.
There you go.
Who's Dickerson? I know Dickers. That's who we booked.
This is becoming an inside joke that the audience who wasn't with us at 7:02 is unaware of.
Correct.
Danny's getting upset.
He is. Let's go to our guy, Jeff Dickerson, our NFL Nation reporter and your partner on network coverage. Hi, Jeff. How are you, buddy?
Hello, boys. That's an aggressive breaking news sounder. I like that a lot. I don't think we ever played that on our show, Jonathan. Maybe like when the Rockies made some big trade back in February. But again, we would have to hit our own sound on that show, too. So yeah. I feel your pain.
You have to do our own sound and our own news. So that's how it works, you know. But nonetheless.
I thought you guys got a staff on the network.
Yeah.
Like a big staff for you guys.
Yeah, we do have a big staff. Yep. And still got to do your own breaking news.
Fact.
Still got to do your own thing.
JD, the Bears did not practice yesterday, and I believe they have today a scheduled day off tomorrow. They're at Soldier Field. Am I to believe then tomorrow night will not, because there'll be no fans, it's not like this fun, yuck-it-up family environment. It will be more like a preseason game.
Probably. We have no details yet, really, on the specifics for tomorrow. All we know is there's going to be no field access for us, so not sure exactly where we're going to be able to watch practice and what we're going to see. Today is not off. They're there. We are not allowed in today. They're going to have a walkthrough. And then, of course, they canceled practice yesterday after we had been there for 45 minutes, and then they figured out they didn't want to practice, which was certainly the result of a lot of the players getting together and voicing their opinions and concerns to management and the head coach. So we will have gone a couple of days, guys, without any sort of access. And tomorrow will be, you know, probably more of a scrimmage-type feel. How long the ones will go, it remains to be seen. But one thing about Matt Nagy is, guys, he's not afraid to put his first team out there, most of his first team out there, in some live contact situations. So that is what we are expecting tomorrow. But as of this moment, we have no details to base that on.
Jeff, from your time covering Matt Nagy, do you feel like this year, based on Zoom calls, his temperament, does he seem different than he was the first couple of years in the job, especially when it comes to analyzing the quarterback spot?
Well, I thought that first year, Jonathan, was a little more of a honeymoon stage. Wouldn't you agree? I mean, the first year, things went well. No one expected them to be as good as they were. And he went with it. And it was very feel-good. I don't want to say happy-go-lucky because that's not who he is. I mean, he is a very intense guy on the practice field. He will get after it. He will yell. He will scream. I thought last year, because of the failures and because of the disappointment, I think he had to change some. I think that would wear on anybody. And I think this year, specifically from him, and again now, we're only getting Zoom calls and, what, 9 practices, I think, or 10 total practices that have been open. But I would say, guys, that there is a clear sense of urgency. Like when the defense is not having a good practice, Matt Nagy is letting them know. When the offense is not having a good practice, Matt Nagy is letting them know. So I think you went from honeymoon to disappointment to real urgency, because I think they all know that the pressure is on, and they got to find a way to get this right, because I don't think anyone would be satisfied or find it acceptable at all if this team goes 7-9 or 6-10 and misses the playoffs for the 9th time in 10 years. So that's the vibe I get from him. It's like, okay, we really got to get this right, because, man, the pressure's on us after what happened last year.
What are they going to do at running back if David Montgomery? Look, groins, hamstrings, these things bark all season long.
They linger, exactly.
So you got this lingering issue. Are you signing Devontae Freeman? Are you calling Marshawn Lynch? Are you giving Ryan Nall the opportunity? What's going to happen?
Why are you asking, Jeff? I told you, 50 passes. Nagy is happy now.
He's salivating. Jay Hood's telling me, oh, thrilling. Yeah, he's out, Mitch, 54 times, kid.
You know, I'm not the one that always buys into the false hope at training camp. I'm pretty, after doing this for a long time, I'm pretty skeptical about training camp stories. But I got to tell you guys, Montgomery looked really good. He looked to be in great shape. He was running very well. Boy, just the day before this happened, he had a great run up the left sideline in like a real kind of, not totally live drill, but they were coming to get him if they were able to tackle him, and he just burned right past him. Good blocking up front. So what they're going to do is, I think, you know, you've got Tariq Cohen, you've got Cordarrelle Patterson. I have Ryan Nall making the team on my 53-man roster. He's a little bit of an everything type guy. He can also play fullback. He's a really good blocker. And, you know, they prioritize someone being in there and blocking on third down. Patterson does not block. He's never showed a willingness to block. You know, Cohn can block, but Nall's a lot bigger. And now if Montgomery's out for a couple of weeks, I think you got to have a more versatile third running back. So I would say, Cap and Jonathan, that they probably go with it like that, because I don't think Montgomery is going to be too long. But like you said, Cap, starting off, groin injuries, they linger. If you don't get it healthy, he's going to pull it again. It's going to be a problem all year. And even though he avoided a knee injury, that was devastating the other day. That's why that was a big story, guys, is because they were counting on Montgomery for such a sizable role this year. And they still might be counting on him. But when your groin goes like that early, before the season even starts, usually it means it's going to be a long year for that player.
My friend, I would be remiss if we didn't ask you about Brian Urlacher, someone who you covered from the beginning to the end of his career, into a Hall of Fame career. I'm wondering your thoughts as his name trended, as he liked something on Instagram that I think it took a lot of people off guard, and just some of his thoughts over the last 24 to 48 hours. What comes to your mind when you initially saw these stories regarding Urlacher?
Well, I think like a lot of the players that played with him in that era thought yesterday that maybe he wasn't the one operating his account. I think everyone that was around Brian Urlacher, and I'm not saying that I have the relationship with him that I have with a lot of the guys from that era, but I covered him every day. I saw him in the locker room every day. He was a great teammate. He was loved by everybody. Didn't matter who you were, what color your skin was, your ethnicity. He was one of those guys that everyone loved and they rallied around, and he treated those people extremely well. And then you see some of the stuff from yesterday and even the weeks leading up to it. And I think there was a genuine wonderment, is he really posting this stuff? And I think he was posting it. And I think there's been a lot of disappointment. I know Matt Forte went public. Believe me when I tell you guys that Matt Forte is not the only Bear from that era that played with Urlacher that is asking a lot of questions and talking about this. And they're just like, was this him all along? I mean, is this who he really is? And, you know, whenever you talk about this stuff, you always have, you know, Jonathan, you know this, the free speech brigade comes out, right? Mm-hmm. Well, he can say whatever he wants. It's a free country. Absolutely. It's a free country. He can say whatever he wants. No one's hauling Brian Urlacher off to jail about what he liked on Instagram. But there are going to be consequences and repercussions. Now, I always thought Brian Urlacher was a guy that cared what his colleagues thought about him, that cared what his friends thought about him. Because why would he go to such great lengths to ingratiate himself to those people if that stuff didn't matter to him? And now he's going to have to deal with it. I don't know what to say. I mean, like everyone that was around him, you're kind of surprised and, I guess, confused. And believe me when I say that there are a lot of people out there that play with him that are very sad because and they want nothing to do with him anymore. And I hope from this comes some sort of ability to maybe change some your perspective and gain some wisdom and reconnect with some people that are obviously pretty hurt because right now it's not good.
Yeah, you would hope Drew Brees immediately realize the error of what he said. But I said to Jonathan and to the guys this morning, JD, I felt like I'm more romantically involved with my teams as a fan. Danny doesn't allow himself to go there. I don't know if Jonathan does. I felt like it was that he's one of those guys. I just loved him as a football player. And I feel like part of me of that romanticism died yesterday.
Well, here's what's hard to come to terms with.
Mm-hmm.
When you spend most of your adult life working alongside and having great friendships with African Americans, and then you have that perspective. That's your perspective on what's going on in the NBA. That's your perspective why teams are canceling games. Like this is how you're viewing this, when really I would think after all these years that you would, of anybody, have great insight and great empathy and great understanding and great compassion into what's going on in this world right now that your friends are involved in and fighting for. And to not have that and be that detached, like, something's going on. I'm not going to lie to you guys. I mean, I had some guys tell me last night, is something wrong with them? Like, asking me, is something wrong with them? I don't know if anything's wrong with them. I don't.
Liking the photo was even more horrific for me.
It starts there with me, with Kyle Rittenhouse. Listen, I as I said, Jeff, earlier this morning, I couldn't care less if Urlacher is an extreme right winger or if he's extreme left or whatever side of the aisle that he's on. That doesn't matter to me. What matters to me is that he's liking an Instagram post from Kyle Rittenhouse, who crossed the state border with a weapon and killed a couple of people, and that all of a sudden that person becomes a patriot because he's defending what? You're not even from Kenosha. You did it to try to get yourself involved. And so that's what bothers me, that you're on the side of that. I don't care if he's right or left. We've made the parallel to Mike Ditka. When Ditka passes away, there's going to be a celebration of his life as a Chicago Bears coach. It'll be about him as a player for the Bears, how he was aligned with Papa Bear Hallis, all those things, the humanitarian, the things that he's given as far as charity. But and also, he is a right winger. Well, that's on the resume, but that's not on top of the resume for me.
Correct.
So my point is that with Urlacher, at least I know where he's coming from. I'm good with that. I know where he's coming from. But when you are looking at Instagram and say, you know what, that guy is special. That guy crossed, you know, went into Wisconsin. He shot a couple of people. That's my guy.
I'm going to like that post.
Are you kidding me?
The problem is that the guys, not speaking for everyone, of course, but a lot of the guys that played with him didn't think that's who he was, Jonathan. Like, yeah, listen, you can. I don't care if you're at the White House last night. That doesn't matter to me. But, like, to have that lack of, I guess, empathy for people that you're supposed to be good friends with, people that loved you, now you have a lot of people saying, well, was this all fake all along? And I don't want to believe that was fake all along, because I go back to what I said originally. I mean, this was a guy that people loved. I mean, he was great to everybody. He was great to all the guys, young guys, old guys, maybe not Cutler, but everyone for the most part.
Yeah.
So now you've got a bunch of guys sitting around being like, what in the hell is going on? Is this who he really is? And for some people, they don't care about friendships going away. again, I guess maybe he doesn't care. I don't know. I would care. But now you've got a lot of people that, quite frankly, just don't want anything to do with him right now. And how do you come to terms with that? I don't know. It's really unfortunate because it's not something that a lot of people saw coming. And I just hope that some good can come of this and some changes can be made and people can get back together and relationships can be mended. But right now, again, like I said, it's just not, it's not a good situation, unfortunately.
No, it's not. JD, we appreciate your time. Best to Parker.
All right, guys. Have a great weekend.
We'll see you.
Best to JD. He's got to deal with Parker.
Yeah.
Best to Parker, he's got to deal with JD.
Yeah, I know.
Michael Jordan is lending his voice and influence. That and your calls next.
Yo, VIP. Let's kick it.
Danny's mad because we said hello.
No, I thought at first I heard this sound. I was like, all right, Queen, I like what Mike's doing here.
A little under pressure.
A little under pressure, a little Queen David Bowie. I like Mike, our boss, Mike Thomas. He picks the music. I was feeling his vibe. And then I heard, yo, VIP. I was like, what? What?
It's so Mike Thomas. It's unbelievable, this guy. He's like, he turned to me in the meeting, remember? He goes, oh, no one's ever knocked my music before. I go, yeah, you worked in Boston before this.
Exactly.
No one knocked you there.
Whenever we play 50 Cent Candy Shop, I look at Jeff and I go, we should never play this song again. And inevitably, it comes up.
Mike should have his own SiriusXM channel. Just it'll be the same 30 songs. It'd be great. Hey, we got you 50 Cent. What about that?
Take that.
But, like, no, no. Give me some. So funny.
312-332-3776.
Hey, Michael Jordan's in the news again.
He is.
How about that? Michael Jordan acting as a go-between for player and owners. Of course, Jordan is the owner of the Charlotte Hornets and the only black majority owner in the league. And so his assistance in being able to bring both parties together was very instrumental because he's part of the Board of Governors. Now, Cap, it's interesting about Jordan and his influence and his voice. So a lot of players in the league didn't even see him play as a Wizard, let alone being a Bull, right?
They watched the last thing and go, that guy was really good.
I think it opened a lot of eyes to a lot of millennials. Like, wait, you know what? Kobe's great. Shaq's great. LeBron's great. You know what? This Michael, though.
This guy's legit.
I think they really realized. But, you know, the difference in Jordan as a player, you know this because you lived it just like I did. The difference between Jordan as a player and Jordan as an executive or as an owner with the Charlotte Hornets is you remember during a time in the 80s where you really didn't want to get too political.
Correct.
You really didn't want to be on one side of the aisle or not. You know, Republicans buy shoes too. That whole comment, he explained that in The Last Dance. So a lot of black athletes that did not want to be able to speak their mind because they did not want to get blackballed. You know, Craig Hodges goes to the White House with a dashiki. He's never heard from again.
Correct.
And it's kind of like, well, why? He's one of the great 3-point shooters of the time during a time where the 3-point was not necessarily a really prolific shot for a lot of players in the league, but he was great at it. And all of a sudden, he just goes away. Mahmoud Abdul-Rauf, the former Chris Jackson from LSU, really great player for Denver. That controversy and whether or not he should pray in his hands or be in the locker room because he's Muslim. All of a sudden, he goes away. Just like that, just blackballed, alienated from the league. Jordan didn't want that. Not saying that it would have happened, but you think about all the sponsorships, all the money that he had off the floor. David Falk didn't want him to jeopardize that, clearly. Smart, right?
Be vanilla.
So now, in his post-playing career and working with the Hornets, you see him more now giving money to causes because he can.
He just gave $100 million to... I believe to promote unity and racial harmony,
yes,
which was awesome to see.
Yes. I like that he was able to lend his voice here, too, because maybe some of the players in that bubble was like, you know what, we're not playing. It doesn't seem right for us to play in the light of everything that's going on. And Mike's like, and Magic Johnson's like, no, let's have a conversation here.
Correct.
And how you could still lend your voice while you're playing.
And you can use your power here to get the owners to give you some of the things you want. And in Mark Spear's article, they have a collective bargaining agreement coming up.
Yep.
And the pandemic allows the owners to basically lock out the players and impose their own rules and say, yeah, I don't know, we're getting crushed financially, so guess what? That deal's off the table. Well, use your forum now to say, hold on, we want some things, social change, we want to promote this and that, but let's also work on our collective bargaining agreement.
Incrementally, Silver and Michelle Roberts will get it done.
They will.
It's that, how about this? Did you ever think in your lifetime that you'd have players and owners almost at 50-50? It's, right now, it feels like 51-49 owners.
Right.
It may never be even across the board 50-50 financially. But as far as the relationship between players and owners, players in the commissioner's office.
No, I never thought it would be as good as it is.
I mean, my God, in any sport.
But that's a credit to Adam Silver in the NBA, where you don't have that in baseball.
Right. Or hockey or some of the other sports.
Correct.
Especially definitely Major League Baseball. There's definitely a disconnect.
He's
there.
The worst commissioner of any commissioner in sports. The worst. Rob Manfred. 312-332-3776. Where do you want to go?
Let's go back to the phone lines and say hello to Crete, beautiful Crete.
Crete, Illinois. Anthony, what's going on?
Tony.
Anthony.
Put Tony back on hold.
Put Tony on hold. We'll go to Columbus, Ohio. Steven. Hey, Steven. Steven, we can't hear you, man.
Well, thank you very much, and congratulations on your brand new show.
Thank you.
Thank you, Steve.
So I'm an Asian American listener. I've called your show as well as the others on the stations in the past. And, you know, the COVID times has really made it very, very difficult to our communities. In case if you didn't notice, the racism to our community has skyrocketed. And, you know, we're being blamed for a lot of things like, you know, sports events being canceled, you know, schools and summer camps and all that kind of stuff, you know, blah, 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 yeah. And the most important thing I want to say is that the fight that African Americans have long endured is very important. Justice is very important to us as well. And I hope the listeners who are African Americans aren't upset by this because of any bias that they have towards us Asian Americans for social or economic reasons. The racism of one minority groups, any minority groups, shouldn't be ranked or shouldn't be seen less than others. You know, I think the people who are upset just can't acknowledge that a person of color, Jay Hood, you know, myself, we bleed red. You know, last time I checked, we're human. Mm-hmm. You know, we bleed red. And I want people, you know, like Cap, with all due respect, you know, the middle-aged white guys who are well off, they will never have to endure any sort of racism. And, you know, they have the power in all industries, including yours, to acknowledge that we exist. We're human. We don't exist because we build cars and electronics that are reliable and that you guys depend on every single day. I know there are people out there in New York who are protesting every day because an 80-year-old Asian Chinese woman got attacked because they think that they, spread COVID. Mm-hmm. You know, we all want acknowledgement that we exist. And the fight that they are going through is also just as important for us as well. And I want everybody to understand that. That's all I have to say, guys. Thank you so much. Have a great weekend, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Appreciate you listening.
Thank you very much for your perspective, Steve.
312-332-3776. More of your calls at Shot, No Shot.
Oh, yes. Love that.
Take it. Rolling on ESPN 1000 with Hoodie. I'm Cap. It's Cap and Jay Hood. Weekday morning, 7 to 10 with Jeff Meller, Danny Zetterman, J.R. Strauss. Carmen Yurka 10.
Tell a friend, 7 to 10, we're giving you something special, giving you an opportunity to speak.
Yes. And have fun, have some laughs.
No, you don't have to sit and listen to 18 guests in a row. You can listen to 18 segments in a row of just conversation between two friends, and actually four friends when you add Jeff and Danny, as well as JR. So then 4 + 1, Southside Mass says 5.
There you go.
So
nice.
Five.
The sales? You learned it.
Right, exactly. Southeast Side Math.
Time to play our game, Shot, No Shot.
That's why I see him in the shot.
Shot, No Shot. With Cap and Jay Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
That's why I see him in the shot.
We turn now to Danny Zetterman with a special edition of Shot or No Shot.
Gentlemen, let's get started. Let's start with Brian Urlacher. Obviously, he's been a hot topic today. Shot or no shot, Brian Urlacher's divisive social media actions will make him unwelcome at Hallis Hall.
Shot. Now, it may end up time heals all, and maybe he'll see the error of his ways like Drew Brees did. But right now, if I'm George McCaskey, Ryan Pace, Matt Nagy, I don't want him there. Absolutely not. Shot.
Shot. It's unfortunate for Brian Urlacher that he liked a photo of Kyle Rittenhouse. And again, we are trying to figure out all the angles to the story in Kenosha, but it has nothing to do with you seemingly siding with a vigilante, crossing state lines with a weapon and killing two people and getting water for it as a reward and able to go back to the crib, too, afterwards. So I would separate myself from that. You appreciate the player. You don't appreciate his thoughts on this very vile act by that guy. Morning, Danny. How are you, buddy?
Hey, Hoodie. What's up? How's
what
everything?
What are you pointing at?
I thought you were going to say something.
No.
Hoodie looked at me like it was my turn, but I heard you go, so I thought you were going to speak. Or were you just gasping?
I guess I just gasped. Yeah. I didn't know. Okay. I gasped.
He was shocked at my thought right there. He's like, can't believe it.
Jaw hits the desk.
Mindy, I'm working with Hoodie, and he said something profound, and I gasped. I can't believe it. Shot. Take that.
Okay.
All right, gentlemen, let's stick with the Bears.
You all right, buddy?
I'm good.
All right.
All right, let's stick with the Bears.
Morning,
the extent
Danny.
Of hey, Johnny, how
a
are
cold
you, bud?
One.
The extent of David Montgomery's groin injury still isn't fully clear. A report yesterday from Ian Rappaport estimated that it's a 2 to 4 week recovery timetable. But what happens if Montgomery remains out into the regular season and the groin issue doesn't fully resolve itself until October or later?
And it stays bulky.
We know who Tariq Cohn is. Ryan Nall got 2 carries last season. The Bears have some undrafted rookie from Oregon State. And, oh, yeah, Cordarrelle Patterson has been in the backfield to this camp. So I ask you guys, shot or no shot, if David Montgomery's injury takes longer to recover from, the Bears' season could be over by the time they face Tom Brady and his Bucks in Week 5.
I'm going to say no shot because they're not that stupid. They're going to go out and make a move, whatever they have to do, because they all are in win-now mode, whether that's Nick Foles, Mitch Trubisky, whoever it is. All those guys up there, they want to all get paid. They want to keep cashing checks. Ryan, Matt, whoever, they're not that dumb. They'll get somebody.
Shot, no shot, or dumb?
You said dumb.
You said they're not that dumb.
They're not that dumb.
I say no shot. I think, as I mentioned, this is a happy time for Ryan Pace, Danny, because you know he wants to run. You know he wants to be able to throw the football 50 times. He wants 4.
Who, Ryan or Matt?
Ryan, Matt, I think either one of them wants, because it's a vertical league. They want those receivers in the tight end spot to be able to flourish in 2020. I still believe in running the football. And here's with Montgomery. It's still unproven. He's unproven because he didn't run the football enough to find out whether or not he can be viable for the future. I say his ceiling is Thomas Jones. Can he be able to surpass that and break through that glass ceiling? Hopefully he can. As a running back for the
he's team. Thomas Jones. He's pretty good.
Yeah. So, I will say no shot. Their season won't end because of this by the time we get to Tom Brady in Tampa. But, man, it's tough. It's tough without having an extra weapon for Trubisky.
All right, gentlemen, moving on to Hoodie's White Sox. The White Sox, just one half game out of first place.
Shananana! Hey, man, say it with your chest, man. Don't just say the White Sox. Say it with your chest, the White Sox.
I said Hoodie's White Sox.
No, but it was like that. I want it with your chest.
He wants you to beat your chest, Danny.
White Sox.
Hoodie's White Sox.
Hawks. Hoodie's White Sox, just one half game out of first place, traded for outfielder Jared Dyson from the Pirates.
Tarzan.
Dyson will be a speedy defensive replacement and pinch runner for the Sox.
Yeah.
I ask you guys, specifically you, Jonathan and Jeff Meller, shot or no shot, your White Sox have officially made postseason plans.
No shot. I'm making postseason plans. I am at the Hood Cave. I am, Jeff. I don't know about you at your crib. I've made postseason plans. I don't know if the Sox have.
Go ahead, Meller.
Yeah, listen, the way the Major League Baseball has expanded postseason play and the number of participants this year, if you look across the American League, the moment it was 2 hours before the Major League Baseball season started when they decided, oh, let's have some extra playoff teams in, which was weird in itself. But once they decided to do that, the White Sox should have been making postseason plans because the American League, there's not eight good teams in the American League.
Mm-hmm.
So there's no reason for them not to. I don't know what Jared Dyson does. I mean, he runs fast. He hasn't been able to hit lefties. I mean, he's
stole
fine.
30 bases last year.
He's here for speed.
Yes, he's a pinch runner. So
for me, this is an easy answer. Shot. They're looking, going, we're going to be in. The deadline is Monday. I'm going to get myself a speed demon if I need him in that situation. And they're going to tweak and add other things. 100% they believe they're in.
I believe that they're in. I want them to believe that they're in.
They believe it. Trust me.
They always take it step by step, and they're very, you know, they don't really step out and talk about the. Actually, outside of Giolito, who's talking about the playoffs on the Sox team? Renteria, maybe? Did Rick say that? I know that Giolito said it.
He didn't say question. Giolito didn't say playoffs.
He said World Series,
which is in the playoffs, in the postseason.
It's bigger than the playoffs.
Nonetheless.
Say it with your chest out.
Playoffs?
We never got a shot or no shot from Jeff. The way the game's played, you have to either say shot or no shot.
I think I said shot. Yeah, shot.
All right, shot. All right, you guys want one more? You want a Cubby one?
Sure.
All right, let's do a Cubby one. We all know the Cubs bullpen blows. Wednesday night, they blew a game to the lowly Tigers, giving up 5 runs in 6 innings. Also, we all know, even David Ross has talked about, how the Cubs' offense is very inconsistent, which is puzzling because of the bats and the names they have in the lineup. So I ask you guys, shot or no shot, with the August 31st Major League Baseball trade deadline fast approaching, the Cubs will make not a minor trade, but a major trade to improve either the offense or the pen.
Absolutely no shot. No shot.
Yeah, it's too bad, too, because you still want to have that commitment to winning. I like the roster. As I've told you several times now, Cap, I like the Cubs roster. They've just underachieved. As far as their offense, I like their offense. But you would think, if you're Theo, if you could swing a deal for a closer or someone in that relief corps, you'd do it. Not sure if it's going to be a major deal.
No shot. Though. He's not going to be given the checkbook. He is not going to be given the ability to add a ton more payroll. No shot.
So now we're right back to the Tribune years, huh? Just going to close it up? It's going to close it up, huh? Is that where we are?
Pretty much. They're okay, going to say, well, you know what? You're $208 million or whatever they're at, prorated, obviously. Done. There's no more money there. Go get yourself, trade a little, you know, a little salary. Here's Albert Almora for that bullpen arm. That's it. You're not making some blockbuster.
By the way, I'll do that tomorrow. I'll do that. Almora for a bullpen arm.
I'm talking about another Ryan Tapera. You're not getting, you know.
But why does Theo have to open up the checkbook to trade away a huge asset, like a Chris Bryant? You don't have to open up the checkbook to trade a Chris Bryant away to get back somebody that can fill a hole now.
Because he's not going to get enough back for Chris, who's injured. He's not trading his core guys right now. You're not going to go, I'm giving you Baez for a close. Not going to happen. No shot.
Yeah, unfortunately, just not. The commitment is not there like it was at the beginning with Ricketts and Theo, you know, together. That's a longer conversation for us to have, because if that is the case, not only this year, then next year, then we should stop talking about championship aspirations for the Cubs.
Yep.
We should just, because I'm trying to keep the window open and through 2021 at the least, because that's the end of Theo's contract, right?
That
I'm
trying and to keep. And he's gone.
I'm trying to keep it open. But if you're not going to spend more money to try to be a better ball club, then what are we doing here?
Agreed. 312-332-3776.
Jonathan
So Zandro, who listens to the show all the time on Twitter, said, I just might make the Milwaukee Bucks now my second favorite team. Just listening to Craig, the Bucks minority owner on ESPN 1000, he has empathy that many owners don't have, like Jerry Jones. I must imagine the Bucks players are thrilled to have him as one of their owners. That would be Craig Karmazin, who also owns our station.
Yeah, there's no question about that. It was good perspective from Craig because he's aligned with the Milwaukee Bucks and could tell us what's going on in Wisconsin. There's several stations under the Good Karma brand that has stations in Wisconsin, so he gave us a great perspective yesterday. You can check that in the archives of the Cap'n J. Hood podcast.
My good friend Tony was mm-hmm. so moved by what the Bucks did and what they started, he ordered a bunch of Bucks gear off Amazon that got delivered to his house today. He's a lifelong Bulls fan, but he decided, you know what? The Bulls stink. The Bucks are doing something special. Let's support them.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, really cool.
312-332-3776.
By the way, only two positive tests for COVID-19 for Major League Baseball. You see that come across?
I didn't.
Two of the 12,276 samples, which is 0.02%, have been new positives. Boy, that is a great shot in the arm for baseball to only have two. You want to have zero.
We had so many people calling in back in like April, May. I'm sure you did at night where mm-hmm. we're never going to play. They can't pull this off. So far, they're pulling it off, and it's good to see. Let's go to Aaron in Chicago Ridge. Hey, Aaron, what's going on, man?
Gentlemen, it is an honor. Thank you so much. It is an honor to be on your show. I appreciate it.
Appreciate you.
In the light of everything that's been going on with Kenosha and the NBA players, I wanted to call to let you know about a thing that we're having tomorrow. I represent a group called Noble Knights. I also represent a group called Poet. And this is our second March rally we're having tomorrow on the west side of Chicago. Mm-hmm. We are meeting at Pulaski and Polk. And we are launching from Madison and Pulaski at 9 a.m. along with State Representative Chris Welch. And we are peacefully, nonviolently, marching down Pulaski. And this march is about nonviolence in the city of Chicago. Now, I would tell you that what precipitated this was the fact that there's been so many deaths in the city of Chicago through gang members and others. So we feel like Black Lives Matter, they have to matter to Black people first. So we encourage people to come out in a nonviolent way. We will have signs, we'll have water, and we're going to march down Pulaski. We're going to raise our voices in a peaceful, nonviolent way. We do have we will have a police escort, and we do. A lot of our members are police officers, as a matter of fact. So we do support the police department, those that are not up to nefarious deeds. So come on out. We would encourage everyone to come out. Again, that's 9 a.m. We're meeting at Polk and Pulaski. We can park your car, and then we're going to transfer people down to Madison and Pulaski, and we're going to march down Pulaski. We have several groups involved, Brothers in Christ Global, who've been doing outstanding work in the community. And our next
awesome.
March will be in Maywood in September.
Great. Aaron, thanks a lot. There you go.
Aaron, that's always good to be able to reach out to the community. It's not through social media. It's not through other means. It's actually having a grassroots effort to try to bring people together.
In a peaceful manner.
Mm-hmm.
Let's get to Booker. He wants to talk some football. Hey, Booker, what's up, man?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
How you doing?
What's up, brother?
I'm good, man. Good to hear from you, Jay Hood. Good to hear from Cap. I've been listening to the station for a while, and this Trubisky thing, man, has been getting to me because, Cap, I know you took a side at first. You was really a big Trubisky fan,
mm-hmm.
and I just want to know what football reason would they have to draft Trubisky? And what I mean by that is, when you look at Mahomes and Watson, were they not more athletic than him when they drafted? Were they not more accurate than him when they drafted? Was their arm strength not stronger than his when they drafted? So what is Pace's reason to draft Trubisky? And again, I want to know your reason for liking him.
Well, number one, you do realize that if you go back through and look at Scouts Inc., ESPN, you look at a bunch of different. Trubisky was the number one rated quarterback on the board. Doesn't mean he turned out that way, but he was the number one rated guy after going through the combine.
For some.
Not for all.
I want to make sure it's very clear. That's just the wrong pick. No, but we'll make it very clear. That's just for some.
Right.
Not every board would look at Trubisky and say, you know, a guy that didn't win the national championship or wasn't in a major spotlight as the number one quarterback in camp, in the NFL draft. That was just on some boards. Deshaun Watson was the best by far going into the draft for me.
Well, if you took the resume, Deshaun Watson was number one. No question. By resume.
Go ahead, Hello. Booker. What else?
All right. So, and we talk about reasons other, you know, well, you kind of dismiss the, well, they draft him because he was white and over a black guy. Well, again, I don't know if that's true or not, but I don't dismiss it because, again, you're looking at factors. Like, I think you, I even heard you say, oh, he's great in the locker room. He cleans the locker room. He drives an old Honda. I mean, that has nothing to do with football. Then you look at the NFL in general. At the next 2 years, you got four or five quarterbacks taken before Lamar Jackson. None of these quarterbacks, zero of them have more talent than Lamar Jackson. And you can see it. You don't even have to be a scout to see that. And he had, well, I think Lamar Jackson was in the running for the Heisman as well. And then the next year, you take.
He was.
Then the next year after that, you get. I mean, Haskins may not be better than the guy from the Giants. I'm slipping my mind, but
Daniel Jones.
Daniel Jones
and Stereo.
If you switch, I mean, you take Daniel Jones from a small school when you get Haskins. I think he came out of like Ohio State or something.
Right.
That makes absolutely no sense that these guys are getting drafted not on football reasons whatsoever. It's like, oh, because you know. He reminds me of Drew Brees. Well, that's not a football reason.
Well, first of all, Dwayne Haskins hasn't shown anything in the NFL yet. One. Two, his college coach is considered one of the greatest quarterback teachers of all time who tutored the Mannings. And so he believed in Daniel Jones. So Dave Gettleman believed in Daniel Jones. I'm not convinced Dwayne Haskins is all that. On the Lamar Jackson thing, I think there was absolutely a bias that, I don't know, we'll make him a... Bill Polian said, make him a running back.
I thought he looked more like an athlete for some than quarterback. And I thought, that guy's got a lot to prove. You know, you're going to be at the bottom of the draft? Well, Lamar Jackson's got to prove people wrong.
And guess what he did?
You know?
MVP. We're back in 2 minutes.